Coming up on TERP Weekly Edition, we bring you the latest in the post-Duke riot investigation. It's the 1 week of the semester when the Greek community unites for sports, skits, and drinks. We'll tell you why there's nothing like Greek Week.
This is TERP Weekly Edition, a look at the issues and news in and around the University of Maryland College Park. TERP Weekly Edition is produced by students of the Philip Merrill College of Journalism in cooperation with WMUC Radio.
Welcome to TERP Weekly Edition. I'm Missy Huber.
And I'm Kiana Jones. There have been more developments in the past week concerning the post-basketball game riots in the beginning of March. Two more PG County police officers have been suspended, bringing the total to four. And the commander of the university's police district is stepping down. Major Daniel Dassault says he's retiring, that his resignation is not related to the riot. And while PG County officials continue looking for Dassault's successor, new video taken on the night of the disturbance has surfaced from the university's own security surveillance system. Hours of tape had already been turned over to the attorney representing John McKenna. But footage from the one security camera with a clear view of Knox Road, where the beating took place, had been missing until last week. The delay in releasing the tape has drawn suspicion, but the university is blaming the mix-up on technical difficulties. University officials have asked state police to look into the matter, and that investigation is now underway.
Student government is also reacting to the aftermath of the riot. After a heated debate, the SGA passed a bill that removes the term rioting from the Code of Conduct's list of expulsion-worthy offenses. The proponents of this new resolution say the term rioting is too vague and may victimize innocent bystanders. They also contend terms such as theft, assault, vandalism, and fire setting already cover the offenses that could occur during a riot.
Passing bills isn't the only news on the SGA front. The leadership of the organization will remain the same for the next year. Steve Gleichman has been reelected and will serve another term as SGA president. Gleichman ran as a member of the Your Party and will be the first reelected SGA president in over a decade.
The Philip Merrill College of Journalism dedicated the new John S. and James L. Knight Hall last week, reuniting alumni and benefactors in celebration. TERP Weekly Edition reporter Emily Mechnick watched the festivities.
We should recognize that this building is not a gift to journalism. It's an investment in journalism.
President Dan Moat welcomed more than 200 faculty, staff, students, and guests to the dedication ceremony of John S. and James L. Knight Hall, also known as the brand new journalism building on campus. Other noted speakers included Kathy Merrill Williams, publisher of the Washingtonian and member of the Merrill College Board of Visitors, Kevin Close, the dean of the Philip Merrill College of Journalism, and Connie Chung, university alumna and veteran news anchor. Twice the size and space of the previous journalism building, Knight Hall is located between Hawes Hall and Cole Fieldhouse. It is also the first certified registered green building on campus, one that wasn't cheap to build.
The University of Maryland has been so fortunate in being the beneficiary of the foundation's great generosity, receiving more than $20 million since 1987, including a $5 million leadership gift towards this building project.
It symbolizes, as Dan said, President Mo said, it symbolizes a powerful partnership between the public and private spaces and interests in our civil society.
Philip Merrill's daughter, Kathy, said her father would be very proud of the building and of all the advanced technology.
We are proud of this first-class school, and we're proud that it's now matched with the first-class building. So thank you.
And it wouldn't be official without a ribbon cutting led by Connie Chung.
All right, we will cut in 3, 2, 1, go!
For TERP Weekly Edition, I'm Emily Mechnick reporting.
For the Greek community here at the University of Maryland, there is nothing comparable to Greek Week. As each fraternity and sorority match up to compete with other organizations, TERP Weekly Edition's Greg Sussman tells us the week is much more than an all-out war.
Hey, Stereotypes portray fraternities and sororities as constant partygoers, students who buy their friends, and who are also major alcohol abusers. However, for 1 week every year, Greeks get together for Greek Week to show that they're about much more.
It brings the Greek community together. It's really spirited. It shows everyone that the Greek community does other stuff besides partying, and it's just really fun, and everyone gets really into it.
In the middle of April, every eligible fraternity and sorority are matched up into different teams. Throughout the week, these teams compete in different events to determine the best matchup.
It's just the passion. It's the passion that every fraternity and sorority puts out on the table. I mean, they play it all year for this. The organization is incredible, and you just see the pride in every frat and sorority.
This year, every matchup represents a different country, from the USA to Mexico to even Australia. The team names fall under the major theme, around the world and back. While the Olympics and sporting events are popular, perhaps the most widely beloved event is skits. On this night, every matcher prepares a dance skit to show off in front of every other team, with the best skit being decided on by a group of celebrity judges.
So much fun! Everybody comes out! Everybody has so much energy! You get to see the creativity of every sorority and fraternity, so much fun!
Skit's gotta be the favorite part. Every frat and every sorority gets to go up on stage, do their thing, make people laugh, get people excited.
So how exactly do Greeks themselves define Greek Week?
It's a lot of practice, which kind of sucks, but I mean, it's great. I mean, you get to bond with your brothers, you get to bond with your new sisters, and you get to meet all the new people in Greek life.
While the week is more about the Greek community uniting as one, there still must be a winner. So who's going to win Greek Week 2010?
It's a toss-up, I don't know.
Ray McKay, 85, is going to dominate Greek Week!
In College Park, I'm Greg Sussman, Turf Weekly Edition.
Once upon a time, fairy tales and folklore ruled the day. That time was Saturday at the Arts Fair, produced by the College Park Scholars. Tony Herman went to this annual Maryland Day festivity to be taken to a faraway land.
If your Maryland Day experience did not include a Disney vocal performance, a skit about Sleeping Beauty's troubles with narcolepsy in the work environment,
ever since I gentrified Neverland, I've been forced to go from one dead end job to the next.
Or a rap starring the Big Bad Wolf. And you clearly weren't at the Arts Fair. Every year, the College Park Scholars in the Arts, a two-year honors program that students are placed into upon acceptance to the university, gears up towards one huge performance every Maryland Day. This year's theme was fairy tales and folklore, a theme that was unsurprisingly loved by the women in the group, and only begrudgingly accepted by the men.
I think the fairy tale theme was really good, and I thought it was a good way for everyone to be creative and innovative and think of new things and use it in new ways.
Didn't really like it, especially being a workshop leader. We had to jump through a lot of hoops just to stick to the theme.
Their entire spring semester has been spent preparing films, dances, instrumental performances, and so much more geared toward the one theme. The catch? There's only one faculty advisor. Otherwise, it's all been up to the sophomores to make sure everything goes smoothly.
It was pretty hectic, but it all came through in the end, man. It was amazing. I'm very proud of how everything has turned out.
It's pretty good. It was intense. A different perspective as a workshop leader. A few shaky parts, but I think today was a great success, and I'm really proud of everybody.
The event took up the entire Cambridge Community Center, meaning that once the event was over, there was a lot of cleaning up to do, but an overall feeling of accomplishment and relief.
I'm glad it's over with, but I think it was awesome.
In College Park, Maryland, I'm Tony Herman, Terp Weekly Edition.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we return, we'll tell you about the latest changes in tuition. Stay tuned to Terp Weekly Edition.
Welcome back to TERP Weekly Edition. I'm Missy Huber.
And I'm Kiana Jones. After nearly a month of celebrations and activities focusing on the environment and sustainability, the campus marked the 40th anniversary of Earth Day last week. Students took part in events ranging from a film festival to an outdoor market, concerts, and an all-day festival on the mall. Some of our reporters were out and about getting an up-close look at these green events.
What happens when you take one man, one acorn, and a whole lot of tree loving? Well, you get a tradition that continues to grow. Lisa Curcurito met with graduate student David Rupert to see how his seedling idea has grown.
Is the mic on?
It's not often that you find a person who will spend hours of work on something that comes with no monetary profit. But David Rupert is doing just that.
We're giving trees away in pairs from different parents, all so that we can kind of maximize the reproduction of these things.
The environmental science and technology graduate student began his Great Oaks of Maryland stand at Maryland Day 4 years ago. As a first-year graduate student, he was now back at Maryland from Dallas, where he did his undergraduate work.
And so it was going between here and Dallas as an undergraduate that I really realized just how lovely it is what we have here in the eastern North America.
But his love of trees started back when most kids still wanted to be firefighters. At his father's home in Olney, Maryland, young Rupert took pity in a dying oak tree and gathered some of its last acorns.
So I planted them, kind of really not knowing anything about that, and those sprouted, and I had this little forest of trees, and that's kind of how it began.
But is that the only reason his love for oaks grew?
We have to deal with the very fundamental fact that oak trees maximize biodiversity, right? When it comes to just lepidopterans, which are butterflies and moths, they support more lepidopterans than any other species of plant, 534.
How does that compare?
A cherry blossom tree is kind of like crack for the landscape. It does nothing for species.
Throughout the year, Rupert travels around the area collecting acorns to grow in the spring.
Once they're gathered in the fall, I put them into a freezer on campus that's about 4 degrees Celsius. They've been thinking that it's just a long, dark, continuous winter. I mean, they've been in Antarctica pretty much, you know.
And when the spring comes around, Rupert definitely has his hands full with over 700 seedlings. He takes these seedlings to Maryland Day, where he hands them out free of charge, with hopes that these seedlings will be properly planted.
I deliberately kind of made it so big that it's out of control so that I couldn't do it all on my own. But it took 30 people, 200 hours, just to get us to this point. And so these things aren't free.
The event teaches the community how to grow and protect the trees. There is also a tree surgeon and contests running all day.
We're giving people a good, high-quality product here. They become a gift in so many ways for future generations of humans, but they become gifts to probably 50 generations of birds and squirrels and, you know, 400 generations of insects.
And throughout Rupert's Maryland Day career, he has given away about 1,500 of these gifts. But with Rupert graduating, he wants someone to fill his shoes.
Well there's some students who are really interested. You know, one of them created a Facebook page. I mean, I wasn't on Facebook last week. But he created a Facebook event. What started off as something, an interest of mine that was sentimental years ago, it turns out just got lucky and that it could actually be a meaningful thing.
And with that, he reminded me that trees weren't much different than we are.
For all of us, it starts small. It starts with this kind of kernel of an idea, you know, the hope of, you know, becoming a scientist, the hope of becoming a journalist, you know, because we want to make, because we think that we might be able to make a difference that way, you know. And if we're lucky, and if we're in the right environment, you know, and we're supported, and if we're tough, you know, well then, then we can make that happen.
In College Park, I'm Lisa Curcurito, TERP Weekly Edition.
And even though the trees will be big enough to start dropping their leaves in September, they'll still have another 300 to 400 years to keep on growing.
Are you a fan of live music? How about shopping, fresh food, and hanging outside? TERP Weekly Edition Rebecca Goldberg will tell you about a new event on campus that allows you to do just that and more.
$3.25
for a bag. The smells of fresh food and sounds of live music filled Hornbake Plaza on Tuesday, April 20th, as students shopped, sunbathed, and ate at Testudo's Market, Maryland's first ever on-campus farmer's market. Unlike your traditional farmer's market, vendors sold more than just fresh produce.
I am here representing WeBike, which is a campus community bike sharing program.
This is the table that's providing information about the wellness initiative.
We're launching a vintage site, and this is just a sample of everything that is going to be on the site.
Vendors were selling things ranging from jewelry to soap and even artwork. But what were students most excited about?
The food looks pretty good.
There's Indian food, bread, fresh vegetables, smoothies, crepes.
Many vendors said they weren't sure whether students would show up at the market, but based on the long lines at each stand, all of the promotions seemed to have paid off.
My roommate invited me to it on Facebook.
I heard about it through the UMD website.
The newsletter email.
Instead of having normal class today, we're here at the farmer's market.
And at the end of the day, there were very few complaints from students.
They don't have a lot of fresh produce or anything.
I can't buy anything like eggs because I'm on my bike.
Overall, the market appeared to be a hit.
I think it's really cool. It's a different crowd than I usually see.
It's been a very nice, very busy market.
I love farmers markets, so it's nice to see it come on campus.
You did a good job incorporating art, music, jewelry, clothing, food, different ways to be more eco-friendly.
The market was sponsored by the university's Wellness Coalition as a way to promote their main message.
Our whole initiative here is to make sure the faculty, staff, and students live healthy and work healthy.
The coalition says they want to keep providing information about their initiative with events like this one. And rumor has it that Testudo's Market may soon become a more regular event on campus.
I think they're planning on having us come back in the fall, and then it'll be every week.
In College Park, I'm Rebecca Goldberg for TERP Weekly Edition.
When we return, Maryland fans get their first look at next year's football team. We'll tell you how they did. Stay tuned. Welcome back to TERP Weekly Edition.
For the first time in 5 years, students will experience a hike in tuition. For in-state undergrads, tuition will increase 4.5%. For grad students, the jump is approximately 6%. President Moats says given the financial circumstances of the state, this is the best the university could hope for. Faculty on the Board of Regents defended the decision, saying that this is a result of less state funding and that the money will be used for changes to benefit students, such as a common area in the library. But this did not appease student members who are also unhappy about a planned increase in fees. They say it's too heavy a financial burden during tough economic times. Spring is a time for rebirth, and for the Maryland football team, it's exactly what the doctor ordered. The red-white game held last week at Byrd Stadium was the first time that fans got a chance to see Maryland since they wrapped up a disappointing 2-10 season last November. TERP Weekly Edition's Rob Dawson was at the game to provide the first answer to the many questions that surround the football team.
When you're coming off a 2-10 season, there are bound to be many questions as you head into a new year. The first chance to get to answer some of those questions, the spring game, which the Terrapin football team held last week at Byrd Stadium. Head coach Ralph Friedgen.
I thought we got out of the scrimmage about what I wanted. Number of plays. Everybody got in. Thought we played hard. I think there's still things we got to get better at. But thought we tackled better defensively than we did last scrimmage. I think we've had a very, very good spring. I'm very pleased at where we're at right now.
The white team defeated the red team 21-13 in the game. While the final score of the game didn't matter, Coach Friedgen was interested in using game situations to put pressure on both teams to make plays. Sometimes, though, the same mistakes that plagued the Terps last season reared their ugly head in this game.
At the end of the game, the mistakes I thought we made was, first of all, we caught the ball inside the field, the punt inside the 10-yard line. That probably would have went out of bounds. And then Torrey didn't get out of bounds with no timeouts. Those are two critical mistakes.
Maybe the most important question would be the quarterback position. How would Jamar Robinson look in his first live game action? Well, the junior threw for 143 yards and 11 for 18 passing. To help Robinson, the offensive line will have to come up strong.
I think our offensive line has vastly improved, especially the first team. I was very encouraged by our offensive line improvement, especially in the second scrimmage. I thought they were really... I see them coming on, and if we can stay healthy there and create some stability, I think they'll get better and better.
The good things that happened in the scrimmage have raised the expectations of the team. Senior linebacker Alex Wojak supplied some high hopes for this season of his own.
My expectations right now are for us to have a really successful season and go to a good bowl game. I think we got the guys to do it, and I think we're motivated after last year.
And last season? Well, junior wide receiver Torrey Smith says that's all in the past.
I mean, last season was last season. We kind of looked past that. We focused on Navy. You know, that's our new opponent. We 0-0. You know, last season, that's gone.
The Terps are now off for the rest of the spring and will not reconvene until August to get ready for the fall season. For Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Rob Dawson.
That's it for this week's Terp Weekly Edition. I'm Kiana Jones.
And I'm Missy Huber. We'll be back next week with more news from in and around College Park. And don't forget, you can take us with you. You can find our podcast at www.twe.umd.edu. Have a great week.
This has been Terp Weekly Edition, produced and written by students of the Philip Merrill College of Journalism in cooperation with WMUC Radio. Please join us next week at the same time for a look at the issues in and around the University of Maryland College Park.